Okay, Mr. Manconi, the floor is yours. We're happy to bring you forward to the table, and then I have some opening remarks. And we'll get Mr. Manconi, I believe, has a PowerPoint presentation. You just let us know when you're ready. Starts his presentation. I'd like to highlight some of the steps we have taken since our last FEDCO update on June 4th. At that time, I, like you and the public, was frustrated by the lack of progress made on the delivery of the trains. So I decided to call a meeting with the CEO of Alstom, who came from France on June 18th to meet with myself, Councillor Hubley, and Councillor Blais, and our senior leadership team. Le président d'Alstom s'est donc rendu à Ottawa pour nous fournir des explications et présenter son plan d'action. Alstom came prepared with a robust plan to address the shortcomings that have been identified and committed to delivering the full fleet of trains by July 7th. As a result, I'm very pleased to report that Alstom did in fact deliver all 34 trains this past Sunday, July 7th. Heureusement, Alstom nous a livré 34 trains dimanche dernier. As we look forward to the delivery of the entire system, I'm also pleased to report that RTG has agreed to set a new RSA date of August 16th, which keeps us on track to launch the Confederation Line to the public in September. Si RTG rencontre cette date de 16 août, nous comptons lancer le train léger en septembre. We will announce the specific launch date approximately 4 weeks ahead of time, of that time. I know our residents are as excited as I am to ride the LRT, and I want to thank them for their patience and support these past few years. Je sais que la construction du train léger a eu un impact sur plusieurs résidents, and I know the construction detours have had an impact on all commuters, cyclists, pedestrians, and motorists. But as Ottawa surpasses 1 million residents, I'm confident that LRT is what our city needs to continue to grow sustainably while reducing commute times and improving the quality of life for our residents. We also have Mr. Larch here, from RTG, and we thank you for being here to answer questions. And Mr. Manconi, thank you and your staff for what I know is going to be some very exciting and positive news on the launch of LRT in our city. So over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Lausch is to my left. He's the CEO of RTG, and to my right is Michael Morgan, who many of you know is the Director of Rail Construction for both Stage 1 and Stage 2. Mr. Mayor, the update I want to give you today is broken into 8 segments, and I want to start off with substantial completion. It's a critical step in the process. RTG will be submitting their notice for substantial completion within the next 10 days. And we anticipate getting all the necessary paperwork and elements associated with that. And based on that, I can advise that we'll be recommending the substantial completion has been achieved, as will the independent certifier based on where we are. That's going to be occurring within the next 10 days or so. So substantial completion, all the construction work, the build of all the assets and so forth is essentially done. And tied to substantial completion are some critical elements. As you noted, Mr. Mayor, Alstom, they've done some very good work, and I want to thank Alstom and their team. They put extra resources on, they stayed focused, they've met their commitment of completing the rail vehicles by July 7th, so that has occurred. The other critical element associated with this is the train control system. So Thales, again, an excellent firm, has done some really good work. They've updated the last major software upgrade on July the 8th. We're taking it through its paces right now. There's some minor final software upgrades and final safety certificates associated with that system that will be completed on Friday, July the 12th. System assurance, RTG is filing all the necessary paperwork. And with respect to double train operations, I'm sure many of you have seen a lot of train activity out there in the last couple of weeks. That we have run up to 10 double trains, and RTG, Mr. Lausch and his team are planning to run 15 double trains early next week. The second step of the update is revenue service availability. Again, a very critical element. RTG has submitted, we received yesterday in writing formally from them, their revenue service availability date of August 16th. So that now is with us. And that leads us to the third step, and that's trial running. And it's a critical step in the process. And what you've seen to date, Mr. Mayor and members of committee, is a lot of testing and commissioning activities. And I want to share two metrics that puts the scope and scale of the testing and commissioning activities that have been occurring into perspective. Because a lot of you have been asking, you know, why does it take so long? What's going on out there? We see a lot of movements. What's happening behind the scenes? So the first metric is system testing. All of them, the customer-facing ones, the train controls, the vehicles, the fire alarms, systems, alarms, and so forth. 6,800 tests conducted. All have been checked, signed off, verified independently with engineers, and that all gets fed into the system safety assurance program. So 6,800 individual tests, and think of the logistics and the work that's associated with that. The second metric I'll give for you is the fleet. The vehicles' combined mileage over the last number of months is 700,000 kilometers of traveling, back and forth and various maneuvers and so forth. And I could go on and on, but those are two metrics that puts the testing and commissioning into perspective. Why? Because safety is paramount on everything, and we've been diligent working with RTG and all our consultants and advisors to make sure that we do that. So all that testing and commissioning, I always characterize that as the studying for the final exam. And trial running is the final exam. And so RTG needs to write the final exam. They've done the preparatory work. They've done all the drills and so forth. And they have to get an A on that exam. And it's a critical step that gives us the assurance, you, the taxpayers, that we're getting the system we're paying for. So the trial running is scheduled to start in July, and as I've mentioned before, they need to have 12 consecutive days of regular service, and that demonstrates that the system's operating as it was designed. It validates all the subsystems and verifies the vehicle availability, reliability, and exercises it from end to end consistently, and they have to have 12 consecutive days that gets measured. The critical elements on that, of course, safety is always at the top. There's the operation end-to-end, you know, headways, time between trains, the total travel time, maintenance activities, making sure they're ready to do the overnight maintenance regimes, vehicle, customer-facing, all those elements, the public address systems, the escalators, elevators, and all the various systems that you've heard about in the past, the tunnel ventilation system, the closed-circuit television, and so forth. That all gets measured by a group that is made up of various representatives from RTG, so Rideau Transit Group, they're the constructor. Rideau Transit Maintenance Team, that's the 30-year concession team. They maintain the trains, the tracks, and so forth. City staff and the independent certifier. They're involved ensuring that everything is in compliance. I do want to warn you that there'll be some periods of the trial running that you won't see any activity out in the line. That's part of the testing and the commissioning, particularly on off hours and so forth. And the independent certifier confirms that they have passed, that everything that's been measured passed and is in compliance with the project agreement. We will not be giving you daily updates. We'll be giving you an update to council. I've advised the mayor that once we've achieved trial running requirements, once RTG has achieved that, we'll inform council and you'll be made aware of it. That's the segue to the fourth element, which is the handover to the city. And that basically gets done when all of that trial running is done, it's confirmed by the independent certifier, and then you add another layer of checks and balances. That's the independent safety auditor. Once that's all confirmed from a safety perspective, a compliance perspective, a testing regime, and the scores are in, the RSA period has been achieved, and we need up to 4 weeks to move into launch. And the public launch, again, I've been asked, why do we need weeks after RSA before we go to public launch? And that's because we have to do the final push to make sure that everything is triple checked. We have more than 70 operational drills. That's on top of the hundreds of drills that have been done. Our focus is on, of course, safety again, but also the station-specific scenarios, because every station is different. We're going to do two live tests simulating customer experiences, making sure that everything is checked and triple checked. Some of our staff need to know where every single room and location is within those stations, and then final validation of procedures and customer-facing systems. And then next, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to talk about the bus network service change. And while the train is very, very exciting, the bus plays a critical role in the multimodal operation. You're going to be one of the most advanced in North America from bus to rail and so forth. And the current bus route that's out there right now will continue for 3 weeks after launch. That's the parallel bus service that I've talked to you about in the past. Yes, there's a cost to that. It's your insurance policy in case something happens on that line for the first 3 weeks. It also enables us to do a bit of a transition from bus to rail. We'll be encouraging people to use the transfer points and go to rail, but it also enables us to throttle up, throttle down. And you know, will things occur? We don't know. Things can turn on a dime. It is a rail system. Like any other rail system, things can happen. So this is an insurance policy and an extra layer of protection that we built in. Why? We want to take care of the customer every step of the way. Go back 5 years when we had all those focus groups that I briefed you on. That's what they said. Take care of me every step of the way as a customer. And at the end of the day, it's about that individual trip and how it's affecting them. The other thing that's going to occur is your end state bus network, which is the elimination through the core, all those buses that get off of Albert and Slater and so forth, the transfer points, and your $5.1 million investment. And I want to list off the neighborhoods because I think that's gotten lost in all this. This is a big investment from council in your budget process. You're going to see enhanced service in the Bayshore Carling, you know, the infamous Route 11 issue, Bell's Corners, D&D Carling Campus, Fisher Park, Riverside, Meadowlands, Kanata North, Kanata South, Orleans, South Keys, Greenboro, Hunt Club, Riverside South, Stittsville, Vanier, West Central East, throughout the core. All those areas are going to have some of this $5.1 million investment put in. That all kicks in after the 3 weeks of the parallel bus service. It will be your biggest bus service change in the history of OC Transpo. 80% of your customers will have some type of a change. Over 100 bus routes will be affected, will be changed, modified, improved, and so forth. And then you'll have the major transfer points to Tunney's, Blair, Herdman, and so forth. So I challenge the planning team to give me a line diagram that I can use, because I know people have asked me in my circle of friends and customers, how is this going to work? This is a good tool for you to explain that basically everything takes you to that line from your various neighborhoods. And you should be very proud of this because you have an amazing system. This is the backbone of your system coming to fruition where everything will connect up, and then you can overlay stage two as you get out further east, west, and south. So in the transit world, this is an amazing network that has been built and will be in operation. The seventh element is the customer communication. I don't know about everybody else in the room, but I can't go anywhere in Ottawa where somebody has not heard the term ready for rail. That is a very good thing. Mission accomplished. We wanted everybody to be aware of our branding, of our communication forum. When we achieve revenue service availability, those last 3-4 weeks is the final push of the campaign. And that's when we start to make it very specific to customers, because they want to know, how does this affect me? And so you're going to see a full-on press on service announcements on the buses, email, text alerts, Facebook, Twitter, social media, our information screens that are out there now, all sorts of local newspapers, third language newspapers, social media, and bus shelters and so forth. So there'll be a big push to our customers. And as we said at our update to Transit Commission, I can't say enough about the mail-out strategy. It's very, very important. Every single household in Ottawa, 1 week prior to the line opening, 1 week prior to public launch, every household will get a mail-out that will talk about the line, high-level review of service network change, and the parallel service period. 2 weeks prior to that final change in bus service, another flyer will be sent to every single household, and they'll make it more specific to their neighborhood, and will advise everyone to look at their trip and customize their trip and push them to the travel planner and to OC Transpo and so forth. So we, our plan is to inform everyone in every single channel that's available to us. And lastly, Mr. Mayor, customer service. We have hundreds of staff that are being trained, and I want to thank my colleagues at the executive table. Their departments have volunteeered staff. We're seconding them from their areas. We're training them to be ambassadors out there to help out customers every step of the way. And they will be there from the opening day through the 3-week parallel service and 2 weeks after the new bus network kicks in. So we're not going anywhere soon. We're going to be there every step of the way and make sure that everybody's taken care of. And you'll see plenty of those red OC Transpo vests throughout the line and at various transfer stations, buses, and so forth. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That concludes the presentation. Happy to take any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Manconi. Maybe we'll get the lights brought back up. And thank you. There's a lot of new information and very positive information in your presentation. So, Councillor Hubley, questions, comments?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Manconi, for that presentation. You touched a bit on the different preparations that OC Transpo, the bus fleet, is making in anticipation of the train running this fall. The could you tell us basically the booking day is coming up? Are you going to have to do a dual booking again this time? And just some information about the runway that you need with that.
Yes, so we have to make sure that we have operators booked for the launch, and I should have mentioned in my presentation, again, we're targeting September as a launch. We don't have a firm date, obviously, but as soon as we achieve RSA, then we can look to locking down the RSA date or the public launch date in September. We have to book train operators, bus operators, and so forth for various scenarios and make sure that we're ready to also do the enhanced bus service. So you're dialing back in certain areas and you're ramping up in others. So we have multiple streams for booking operations. And that's literally, I believe that starts next week. We have to be prepared, so we're well advanced. And I want to thank all the union partners. They've been excellent, and staff have been excellent and accommodating.
And as well, we saw, there were several of us this week that went on a tour of some of the OC Transpo operations, and one of the things we saw was the call center. And we were advised that there was, I think it's 9 or 10 people being trained up just that day while we were there. So do you want to talk about that too, how we're ramping up the phone system to take those calls that all come in and emails?
Yes, we're ramping up in the customer service area, so we're going to be out visibly, but we'll also be available to take intake calls in any fashion. And also a reminder that those state-of-the-art fare vending machines have the online digital screen where you press a button and you have an operator live on the screen interacting with you. That's the first in North America. And so they're being trained on that. I was through there the other day, and they were doing testing in that regard too. So all channels, lots of support, all hands on deck, and you know, for my staff, I want to thank them, because I can tell you that a lot of vacations have been canceled multiple times, and they're sticking with us, they're pushing through, and that's management at all levels, at the front line, management, directors, and so forth.
Okay, thank you. And you mentioned in there the red vests. They're going to be available to all the stations to help people, and they're, I think everybody saw the pictures, and maybe we can thank Councillor Lulop for organizing the first public meeting where the red vests actually came out so that people saw them in those vests. And I think we can both say they're going to be very noticeable. But they're, if you want to talk about that, like they're already trained, they're ready to go. Is that right?
Yeah. They're in final stages of training, and yes, they'll be at the major stations, but more importantly, we also have a command center set up that gets hourly updates. So if there's stations that are having less problems or more problems, there's a station manager that controls where those people go, And the other thing is those people will be empowered to make decisions on the spot. So somebody can't get through the fare gate, we're not going to haggle. We're going to push them through and get them through the fare gate, open it up. So they're empowered at the ground level. And there's supervisors also at all those stations.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. McElwain.
Great. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Luloff, please.
Thanks for the presentation, guys. I've been hearing some concerns from the accessibility community, so I'm wondering if some of your live customer experience simulations will include a significant amount of people with mobility issues.
Absolutely. That's part of the drills. And also, Councillor, for your information, the Accessibility Advisory Committee was involved in the design of stations, and they also signed off on the vehicle. They were instrumental in some of the tweaking that was done with the design of the vehicle itself. And they'll be part of those drills that I mentioned in the preparatory work.
Awesome. If you'll indulge me very briefly, then, so the ramp up in customer service, will that augmentation also support your paratranspo customers?
Yes.
Okay. Great job with the red vest. These guys were amazing. I was very pleased with the information that they were able to provide at the information session hosted by the East End councillors. You hired some very, very good people. I, in fact, recognized some of them from high school. Ishwael is an incredible guy and gave our residents the information that they needed. You had high-quality people there, and I think that this launch is going to go smoothly. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Councillor Luloff. Councillor Tierney, please.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, John. Great news. I'm loving all this. One question I always ask it, you know what I'm going to ask. You had mentioned you'd put front burner the opening of the 417 ramp, the 417 to the 174, and you anticipated, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, 3 weeks after services in place, we'd look at having that ramp open back up. I just want to make sure that we're preparing for that, and is there communications and messaging that the four East End councillors can start to provide to the communities and about timelines?
Yes, it's all coming. Phil Landry is part of the steering committee that I have on operational readiness. Two things. He has been tasked with, now that we're into a September launch, we all know what September is about, construction season, back to school, back to university, and so forth. He is tasked with putting a very integrated, complex plan together for the citywide measures for construction season, detours, and so forth. And that also includes the ramp opening and so forth. So it's all layered into that. He's mapping all that out. We'll have details to share on that shortly.
And approximately 3 weeks after full service delivery?
I believe so. I just want to triple check with MTO. There's a lot of activity right now in 417 with the delays. That's shifted all of their priorities and so forth. But I believe we're still good.
Okay.
I can assure you of this. The first detour to come off is that one there.
Thank you.
We're going to step it through on the other ones.
And my second question is related to the rail yard. I know in the past we were dealing with some issues in the rail yard. It was on manual software, and I guess you had mentioned in the future it was going to be automated. Do you know if they've achieved automation within the rail yard at this point?
I'll let Mr. Lausch explain the yard operation, okay?
That's with his
portfolio.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So at the present time, the yard operation is in manual mode. And we use something called MRAs, which is manual reservation areas. It's a specific system where we close off areas to ensure that there's no interferences. And we'll be operating in manual mode until probably early 2020.
Okay. And do you foresee any situations occurring with that? Because I believe there's been some reports of a bogey falling off because of the manual mode. Have they corrected procedures to ensure that we limit or reduce or eliminate any rail yard derailments?
I can assure you that no bogies have fallen off, but we have implemented stricter procedures in the yard to ensure that we don't have further occasions of incidents with the rail derailments and so forth. And we're quite confident with the testing that we've done over the course of the last few weeks and months that we'll have successful launches. We've been launching 15 single vehicles quite successfully, and as Mr. Manconi noted in his presentation, starting next week we'll be launching double vehicles.
Yeah, we certainly see them rolling around the neighborhood, so this is great news. Thank you very much, John.
Great, thanks, Councillor Tierney. Councillor Harder, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and it's interesting to see that we're counting on Mr. Landry to work his magic, which he does on a daily basis, but let's not let's not think for 1 minute that there's not going to still be issues, no matter what he does, because, you know, I know that no matter how hard he tries, like, I'm in conversation with him as I witness stuff every single day. I mean, you know, today that they're blocking off a lane on Laurier when everything else is so terrible. So I'm looking forward to, I know he'll do his best, but I think even that we have to be ready for there to be some more work to be done. I'm also concerned, it looks like you have a very fulsome outreach to everyone in the city, but I'm really concerned about the fact that it looks like you're mailing that information, are you?
No, we're going through every channel, but we're also doing the mail-outs on top of everything else.
Okay, because I would suggest that as an added tool, if we use our largest park and rides, so for example, Fallowfield, Eagleson, wherever the largest ones, you know where they are, that might be a good place to set up a tent to have people. I know that they're really busy coming and going, but I just think it would be of added value. So many people are not looking at their mailboxes at all anymore, and if you're not interested, you're not picking up on it socially either. Otherwise.
I agree 100%. I believe that's part of the plan, but if it isn't, it will absolutely be part of it.
And I'm glad to hear the good news today, that it's good news finally that we're headed in the right direction. We're going to be on track running. But I have to say that for the people that are hanging on waiting for that, it has been horrific. I mean, you notice probably the odd time that I respond on Twitter, which is a very odd time. I can't argue with them. It is a pitiful situation now. So I think that what we have going for us, it's the summertime, so the timing that you've laid out is really good. So thank you very much. I look forward to getting to where we need to be. Thanks a lot.
Great. Just for the benefit of, if anyone is here for the bingo item that didn't, anyone new here from the bingo? It was Manatee, Kiwanis, Barrie Lions, Legion, and sexual assault. Councillor Brockington, please.
Under the B. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry, just Riley.
Yep.
Is that, who put their hand? And you're with? And are you supportive of the staff recommendation? Okay, is there someone from staff can talk to this individual? Maybe you can just talk offline. Is that Isabel back there? Okay. Councillor Brockington, sorry to interrupt.
It's okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to our staff, who independently oversees the 12-day trial run test?
It's a team of RTG, RTM, OC Transpo staff, consultants, but the independent certifier and the safety auditor all are part
of
that.
So it's not just RTG telling us, hey, we've run it 12 days, everything was fine. We have independent assessment.
Correct. And there's a scorecard that has to be completed and a very rigorous process to it in terms of what constitutes a pass, fail, reset, and so forth.
This past winter, we ran into some issues, train getting stuck in snow, panels coming off that may or may not have been unique to this past winter. Can you give this committee assurances that all conceivable tests in the winter, particularly winter, have been done and done successfully?
I'll let Mr. Lausch comment first, and then I'll add to it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I can confirm that after the occurrences last winter, we obviously took them very seriously, and we've done several mitigations to ensure that it doesn't happen again, and I think we've discussed in the past some of our improved winter maintenance plans that we've implemented and we'll be reviewing with the city continually, especially as we get closer and closer to winter.
And just to confirm, you have exhausted all conceivable tests with the trains as recently as this past winter to put them through those situations that they will be able to proceed this coming winter without issue?
Yes, we're very confident.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Manconi, just the $5.1 million that Council allocated in 2019, that was supposed to go into effect on July 1st. We're now basically a quarter that we aren't spending that money. How much is actually going to be allocated in 2019? Do you still have $5.1 million to spend, and will there be extra money, since there's 3 months that we haven't spent it, that we can improve other routes?
That's the third time I've been asked that question. I always forget the answer, so I always go to Marion because she's better at this stuff than I am. So Marion, can you help me out on that one, please?
The money is still in the budget, so it will be up to Mr. Banconi to determine if he will be spending it on anything else during the year. Otherwise, it falls to the bottom line.
So on extra bus service, if that's where we're going, and the discussion, it's an issue of do we have the buses and the personnel. So we don't have extra buses, but I think we're going to need every nickel there to get to the end of the year and stay within budget. We had, last quarter, we were just on the bubble there in terms of a bit of a deficit.
Mr. McCoy, just to clarify, though, I think the $5.1 million is for a full year's worth of service. So if we haven't spent the full amount, we'll have that as a surplus, but it'll only be one time because January 1st kicks back. We're not going to add more bus service because we have a little pot of money left over, because that money has to be amortized over 12 months starting on January 1st.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, and just can I be reminded the bus fare freeze? Did we freeze it for 2019, or did we freeze it until the service opened?
Until the service launch.
So how are we going to transition to fare increase? How is that going to happen?
It's on the list of things that we need to figure out, and we'll bring that back, I would suspect, back to Transit Commission.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Conseiller Cloutier, s'il vous plaît.
Merci, Monsieur le Maire. Merci, Monsieur Manconi, pour votre présentation. So just to be clear, the 12 days of trial running has to be completed before August 16th. Is that correct?
Correct. And if it, yes.
Under the assumption that that is confirmed as the RSA date.
We have confirmation.
We have
that is the confirmed RSA date that they're striving to get to. They have to get it done by then.
You've referred to the independent certifier in two contexts, one the substantial completion and one in the trial running. Is that the same person or same position?
So it's actually the service is provided by a company called Altus. Mr. Mayor, through you, a company called Altus Group provides the service. So it's a team of individuals who essentially provide payment certification. They've been part of the project for every single milestone. So up until this point, they've been following the project closely. Substantial completion is a milestone, so they're a part of that. Revenue service availability is a milestone. They're part of that. They're also part of the trial running process. So they've been, Altus Group has been with the project for the last, since its inception.
Okay. Mr. Manconi, you answered Councillor Brockington's questions, which were a little bit mine. But can you just talk to me about the integration of the independent certifier, which is a process with several people, and the safety auditor, with respect to safely and the launch of the system?
Mr. Mayor, through you to the councillor. The independent certifier is really there to provide expertise on the payment milestones, on the completion of the specific contractual elements. One of the deliverables that we need in order to achieve revenue service availability, in addition to the 12 days of trial running, is a sign-off by the independent safety auditor. Now, the independent safety auditor is engaged by the city alone. They're independent. They're providing independent advice to us. It's a company called TUV, that has a lot of experience with safety certification in Europe, who's providing that service. Ultimately, we're looking to them to provide us comfort and to provide the city manager and the city council and mayor comfort that the system is safe and it's ready to go into service. So the connection between the independent certifier and the safety auditor is a check in the list of things that the independent certifier will want to see before that team gives the final certificate for revenue service availability.
And the safety auditor has some operational items as they relate to safety in terms of access egress of the stations, or
they are looking at the kind of start to finish. So they're looking at the design, they're looking at the construction, they're looking at all the commissioning reports. They want to see that that the operation is ready and can run safely. They want to see the maintenance team is ready and can run safely. There's a series of what's referred to as statements of no objections, essentially specific areas such as maintenance, such as operations, such as commissioning. They go through all of those subject areas to confirm that the system is safe and ready for service.
The next, thank you for that. The next contact point, will we hear about the 12 days of test? Will we only hear whether the 12 days of testing was successful with respect to any potential movement of the RSA date if it's not successful? Is that when we, is that how we hear about the, that trial running?
We will inform council if they achieve the trial running 12 days before or on August 16th. And then as we've done in the past, if something is slipping with RSA, we will again update. I would look to the mayor and the city manager. It would probably be through this forum again.
Thank you again for the update today.
Right, merci, Conseiller Cloutier. Councillor Cavanaugh, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. And thank you very much for the update. Of course, we're all anxious and happy to hear that we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. It won't come as any surprise to you that the question on the minds of most people in Bay Ward is not so much on the LRT, but on the restoration of the bus routes. Can we say that it looks like they're going to be back and running in October? Because you said 3 weeks after. Is that a fair estimate?
If Mr. Lausch passes the exam and gets to August 16th, then the plan rolls out as we've talked about. So yes, if on the assumption that that occurs, you're into October-ish that you'd see that service rolling.
Okay, just over a year since it was September 2nd that that route was cut. So this is an actual restoration, not new service. Believe me, people are very, very much looking forward to it. We don't want to go through another winter without it. So thank you for that. My other question is just a recap of what effects this has on stage two in terms of what has happened and what the delays are, because that also is very, very important to Bay Ward.
There are no delays on stage two. Mr. Morgan manages that file, and the teams are out there working right now as we speak, doing boreholes. They've done some brush clearing and so forth. There's no dependency, and there's nothing from this delay onto stage two.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Cavanaugh. Councillor Meehan, please.
Thank you, Your Worship. Could I echo everyone's comments about how welcome this news is? Thank you very much for this. My question, because it also concentrates on busing, and I guess my question is, we have experienced a driver shortage over the last year due to a number of issues. We're looking at a budget overtime now in transit of $21,471,000 in overtime that we had to pay out in order to keep drivers on those routes. I guess I'm looking for assurances that we're going to have the driver complement that are necessary for the new system to be implemented in October. Also, mechanics, because if I understand correctly, we're short of mechanics in the garages, and that's where some of the buses have been taken off routes because we don't get them the maintenance done as quickly as possible. And so I'm looking for assurances that the busing is going to be everything that we need in order to have efficient busing over the course of the winter is going to be there, that we're not going to have the shortages, that we're going to have mechanics. So what's being done to address that, Mr. Manconi?
So on the bus operator side of things, you'll recall when we did the earlier estimates, it was, I believe, around 600 staff total mechanics, bus operators that needed to be laid off. That number has reduced dramatically. So we are doing layoffs in the bus operation area because you're getting rid of 180 buses. That's how you're saving money, and it's being replaced with the rail line. So yes, absolutely, we will have not just the right complement of bus operators, but also what's called the spare board for a backup, for sick leave and so forth. And on the mechanics, same thing, we'll have the right complement of staff in those areas there.
So does that mean we're hiring more mechanics?
We had the potential to lay people off, but through attrition and vacancies and so forth, we've retained people, so we don't have to lay off the mechanics that were originally going to be laid off. So it'll line up with exactly your question. We'll have the right size of the mechanic fleet. Mechanics are very difficult to get.
Yeah.
It's a highly complex environment. We're doing some really good stuff with the colleges and so forth, and also with my peers across Canada. We're helping each other out in terms of where resources are available. So yes, we will have the right complement.
And are we confident that $21 million in overtime, are we going to recoup that from RTG?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I don't want to get into the specifics because I know Mr. Lausch to the left of me probably has some differing opinions, but as I've told Council repeatedly, the direction from Mr. Kanellakis is that we are going to deduct those incremental costs that we have incurred from the city off of the remaining two payments, and there's a lot of money left to be paid to Mr. Lausch. I can assure you that is exactly what we're doing. We've met last week with the city manager, finance, and so forth, and so that is what we're going to be doing. I would caution about getting into details right now because it could result in litigation down the road.
But we're looking at that overtime bill even growing before we get the bus system into its new phase in October.
Yes, yeah. I'm doing everything I can to get service out because, to Councillor Harder's point, it's rough out there right now. We're still seeing a lot. I know you're feeling the pain also. So.
Yeah, we are. And just one other question. If for some reason the trains don't work one day, the plan is to pull from regular transit routes to accommodate the passengers who would be inconvenienced?
Well, a couple things. Great question. Yeah. There will be days when the train will break down. It happens in every city around the world, and we will do exactly what every other city does. It's you have limited bus backup, limited. Yeah. We have a high-volume line. We have a few spare buses that are out. You see them out in the park-and-ride lots and so forth. We will bleed off the odd high-frequency route. We won't, but people will sort it out themselves. They'll get out of the stations. They'll Uber. They'll walk. They'll jog. They'll taxi. They'll do whatever, and it gets very hectic. But as you'll see in the final push of the communication out to customers, there's a whole plan on how you deal with any rail interruption. And you'll see the yellow signs and so forth. You'll see that in our final communique. And the number one thing that customers will always tell you, whether it's Toronto, Boston, New York, Chicago, or any of those that we've looked at and studied in depth, communicate to the customer. They want to know, am I stuck on this train for a minute, or am I stuck on this train for a long time? Get me to a station. I'll sort out how I get to work or where I'm going. To answer your question, we're not stopping bus service across the city to augment the rail line if there's a breakdown.
No, I wouldn't suggest you were doing that. By eliminating some of the routes, though, do we not leave ourselves open for causing some chaos? If we kept some of those 187 drivers and some other routes, maybe we would have some elasticity in the system.
So again, you will have some elasticity because we have a spare ratio out there and spare vehicles. You don't see them right now because we're in total detour all over the place, filling missed trips and so forth. You would never be able to afford having more than what is industry best practice on spares out there and extra buses. It would just be astronomical. And remember, every cost you add, you're either doing a fare increase or a tax increase. So we're doing what best practices have done across North America and APTA standards and CUTA standards and so forth.
The city's grown substantially, though, since this plan was designed. We've got new suburbs that need new routes, and I'm worried that we're not going to have those buses to service these new suburbs that we've seen come up since last time, a year ago.
Councillor, I'm not disagreeing with you. You're adding $5.1 million this budget. A few budgets ago, you added some additional millions of dollars on bus service. I think if you're looking for more bus service expansion, that's a budget discussion that council needs to have. I'm not disagreeing with you. The city is growing. If you want to invest more in bus, you either have to raise taxes, raise fares, or do less of something else to direct funds to transit. So. I will remind you that in your ward there is some bus expansion that we did last year and we're doing this year also.
Thank you, Mr. Manconi.
Just to clarify, because Councillor Hubley and I spoke with the treasurer with respect to the fare freeze. Maybe the treasurer can confirm, given the fact that we're not sure the exact date in September, it may be the beginning, middle, end, but in September, I believe we don't need direction that the increase would start on October 1st, Madam Treasurer, so that doesn't have to come back to Council, because that would be the first full month of LRT service.
That's correct, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so that clarifies that. Okay, thank you. Councillor Deans, please.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to follow up on the finances a little bit. Based on the assumption that the handover date will be August 16th, does that trigger a financial $1 million penalty?
The financial penalty of August 16th would kick in if Mr. Lausch doesn't achieve it, yes.
If he doesn't achieve it.
Correct.
But wasn't he supposed to give us a date for before now?
We've accounted for all the penalties that have been associated with the missed RSA dates, and that's part of the reconciliation of the costs.
Okay, so in order to achieve August 16, you need to do the 12 days of continuous running successfully. And how many days do you have to fit those 12 days consecutive run times in?
It depends when Mr. Lausch starts. So as soon as he achieves substantial completion, within that 10-day window, he can literally start the next day. I don't know if that's his plan or not. So if you assume next Friday, I believe he's got about between 4 and 5 weeks to get those 12 days.
Okay, and that is 15 coupled trains running on the track continuously for 12 consecutive days.
No, it's the mimicking the entire service. So AM and PM rush Monday to Friday is 15 doubles. It steps down to 11 midday. It's 11 on Saturdays, 10 on Sundays, throttles down to 4 after midnight and so forth. So he is mimicking the entire service for the 7-day period. We're trying to get a full week. We have to get a full week in there. So it throttles up, throttles down, and according to the schedule.
And who's the ultimate arbiter if that has occurred successfully or not?
There is defined criteria on pass and fail, reset of a day, reset of the entire process. It's all prescribed in the what Councillor Brockington was asking about. And so that's reviewed by the independent certifier.
Okay. And just presuming they meet the handover date of August 16th, what's the next milestone payment to RTG? How much money would they get, and would that be on August 16th?
It's $59 million at substantial completion and $202, I believe, at RSA. So $59 million at substantial completion.
What day is that?
That's August 16th.
Okay.
That's within the 10-day windows. So within 10 days, he's filing substantial completion. If he gets it, he gets that $59 million. And then revenue service availability, the August 16th, is the remaining, the $202 million.
That's the day they hand over the keys to the system. We make that major payment.
Minus the city costs, correct.
Okay, well, let's talk about the city costs, because I want to thank the treasurer for providing us with the memo. My problem with the estimated financial implications for RSA memo is that it's not very detailed, and I couldn't really tell looking at it where the payments are. For example, we've been told by Mr. Manconi that a number of items will be added to RTG's bill, such as the high premiums we're paying for OC Transpo drivers, but I can't see that reflected in the memo. So where would that be?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I can't hear the acoustics. Something's off.
Oh, sorry. I'll speak up. I'm talking about the memo we received.
Maybe
from
stand up, Councillor.
Maybe my soft voice, but might be a good time to point out it would be lovely if we could have a room where all members of council could have a seat at the table, especially for this committee, since everyone seems to be attending and it's very difficult back there to participate. I wanted to thank the treasurer for the memo on costs, but my issue is it's not very detailed, so I can't really see where all of the details are. For example, Mr. Manconi told us that the high premiums we're paying OC Transpo drivers would be passed on to RTG, but I can't see that in this memo. So is it in there, and where is it?
So the line item that talks about mitigations due to delay in service, that's that number.
6.6 million as of June 30th.
Correct.
And you would expect that to grow.
Continue until, yeah.
Okay. Would it be possible to give us a more detailed breakdown of the costs?
What additional detail would you require?
Okay, we can talk about what additional detail afterwards, but I just think it's a bit high level for me. Those are all my questions. Thank you.
Councillor Hubley, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to go back over a couple of things here. It was referenced earlier by one of the councillors about winter issues. I think most of the councillors around the table will recall that what actually happened last winter was that no trains were running. We got hit by a snowstorm, and they couldn't get a train out, or a train got stuck on the track. During normal operations, like this winter, trains will be going back and forth steadily. There's no expectation that trains are going to get stuck in the snow, because they should be moving the snow. Plus, I believe under RTM, you've purchased equipment to help with the clearing and that. So this whole notion that the trains can't run in the winter, I don't want to call it fake news, but it's something like fake news. It's not really true. Is that correct? We're not anticipating issues? Well, yeah, of course, because she started the rumor. But sorry, Joanne. That's not fair. I retract that. What I want from you, sir, is the answer that it's not really an issue, because it's been brought up here again today, and I don't want it getting reported out that we have winter issues here. You've got it. That was the explanation for last winter. This winter, the trains will be going back and forth. I believe there's an operational plan that in event of a snowstorm, the trains will continue some sort of a schedule overnight to keep the tracks clear. Is that correct?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, Councillor, that's absolutely correct.
Okay. And the issue with the panel, this was one panel that came off on a brand new train. I believe it was loose nuts or whatever bolts holding it on. And was it not what happened here once it came off and you realized what it was? Did you not go and check all the other trains, make sure those nuts are good and tight, and we haven't had another issue like that? Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Oh, sorry, one other thing. The buffer on the testing days, like the way this works for the 12 days, maybe we should try and be as clear as possible with this. Because of all the work you've done leading up to this, there's a potential that you may get through the 12 days of testing in 12 days. But there's also rules that, you know, Mr. Morgan spoke about before, part of the protocol, where there may be a need to reset the 12, or maybe you just have to repeat whatever is going to be tested on that day. But you've built yourself in a really good window that if you can't get it done in 12 days, it shouldn't impact the August 16th date. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. So thank you very much, Mr. Manconi and team.